We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate through the great upstate of South Carolina. And who the hell needs a schedule? Who needs a schedule? We are joined now right here at ACC kickoff in Charlotte, North Carolina, by Clemson linebacker James Skalski on the show. My man, how we feeling, buddy?
Feeling good. Happy
I love
to be
it.
Here.
I love it. You guys have been putting the hustle on today, pal.
Yeah, we've been bouncing around, answering a lot of questions.
How many Red Bulls so far?
Oh, none.
No, he said I got this in the
bed. Just a good night's sleep is all I got, yeah.
That must be nice.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah.
Long days gone past, my man. James Skalski joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. First real, I mean, for you guys, I know there's been days in the facility in life. First days since the COVID season where we've all really gotten to do this, all kind of come together in an environment. We're all here to talk football, have a little fun. What's it been like for you to get back to Radio Row and be talking with the people?
It's definitely different from the Zoom calls I've been doing for a year. No, I love the in-person interactions. Everything's always better that way. It's been great. No, I love talking to you guys. Love talking ball. So it's been a fun day.
Tough to do, man, but you're pulling through. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I know it's a challenge. Hey, so let's talk. This upcoming season. I mean, listen, it would be anything but honest to say last year the end of the great season, tough year through COVID, not getting to be in front of as many fans as we'd like.
Yeah.
Obviously, the playoffs ended a little bit disappointing for you guys. We know Travis is gone. Trevor's gone. Offense is retooling. Defense, you guys get some pieces back, lose a couple. Coming into this year, now I asked DJ earlier what his expectations were for the season. What are the goals for the season? For you guys and for you, kind of quarterback of the defense coming up this year, what are your goals coming into this year for Clemson?
The goal is the same as it always is. It's make it to the conference championship and win the closer. And hopefully that closer is the playoff and leading into a national championship. We want to end at the top of the mountain, and that's always the goal is win our last game, and that last game being the Natty.
Sure. Talk to me about the attitude. So one of the things that I've loved, I've been in the upstate for about a year and a half. I was around the program last year via Zoom call. This year, first time I've gotten to get hands-on. When I got here, Clemson fans said, look, this is all about that family mentality that Dabo builds on the inside. And I kind of thought, all right, dude, yeah, like every team says that, of course, right? But last Tuesday, media day at Clemson, I got the chance to go into the facility and really meet with the coaching staff. There is something different about it for you as a player.
You felt it.
Yeah. For you as a player, what has that meant to you during your time at Clemson? And is that kind of what connects you guys to have that attitude of, look, our goal is bring home hardware?
You know, the cool thing about the culture is it's all I've known, right? So I don't know what another school has or doesn't have until, you know, players from other places come, you know, have like brothers or siblings come visit us, and then they expand on how they feel it too. And then you're saying it now. So it's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of just a feeling you get when you show up at the place as far as, you know, the family aspect of it. You can't really put it into words, you know. It's just a feeling you get around a bunch of good people. And that Clemson brings that every single day.
Sure. James Skalski, linebacker, Clemson University, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. So I know that every interview is going to ask you this, and I think we kind of have to. Last year was arguably the most unique football season that any of us have ever played, seen, watched, covered, right? We're trying to do interviews with you guys over Zoom calls instead of being able to sit with you. You guys are playing in front of maybe 20,000 instead of the 77-plus that you normally pack in there. What did you take from last year? What lessons were you guys able to learn as individual players, as a team, that you'll carry forward going into this year where, fingers crossed, we'll be back to a normal football season?
Yeah, I think it's just don't take any opportunity to play the game for granted. Because, I mean, I don't understand. I don't think people don't understand how close we were from not having a season last year. Like, probably hours.
Yeah.
From it not ever even happening. No, definitely just taking, you know, just taking advantage of the opportunities to play the game. I remember running out for the first game versus Wake Forest. The attendance was 63 people.
Yeah.
Right? And I couldn't have been happier to run out there. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest takeaway. It's just loving every opportunity to play the game, because really you don't know what's going to happen, and we figured that out last year.
Sure, sure. So you guys, Clemson, and Trevor was kind of at the front of this, but I remember your name being attached, and Darius' name was attached, and there were so many other names attached. A good chunk of what you guys were trying to do was lead this premise of we want to play. Like, we know there's issues and we know there's risk with COVID, but we still feel it's important to play the game. Can you kind of tell me how you guys communicated with each other to solidify that movement? Because you guys really were, I think, one of the big catalysts, one of the big reasons we got to play, whether it was in front of 63 people or zero.
Exactly.
You guys had a huge part in that. What was that like to kind of lead that charge?
I know. Well, we're sitting there, you know, we're working in the offseason, the facility, and you know, doing our summer training, and we just keep hearing a bunch of noise that they're about to pull the plug, without any dialogue with us, you know, and we're just reading stories or hearing things, people telling, you know, writing about how we feel, right, but they haven't even had conversations with us. So we felt like the best way to let everyone know that we want the season to happen is to let everyone know we want the season to happen, is to put it out there. And we did so, and we completely changed the narrative. And it was great. I mean, it led to a season.
Sure, sure. James Skalski, linebacker Clemson, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. So one thing, and I want to kind of take that to the next step. You talked about the fact that you guys maybe didn't feel heard, right? Like, people were saying, here's what the football play, and you guys are going, that's not what we think. You haven't even asked this yet. We have seen the transfer portal get approved and bolstered. We have seen the NIL laws come down. And a lot of these, we're still kind of feeling out the process. But I've said a while, this all happened because I don't know if this is true. You tell me, as a football player. But for the first time, it kind of feels like the players, it feels like you guys have a chair at the table of the decision makers now. Have you guys as players felt that? And how important has it been to y'all to make it, to feel like your voices are heard at the decision-making level?
No, yeah, that's a good point. I do think over the past, especially 2 years with the COVID, and then even now with the rules changing, our voices are heard more than ever right now. And I do think that's when I first got here, maybe it's because I wasn't in a leadership role yet, you know, so I didn't feel like I had that big of a voice. But just still didn't feel like we had the presence we do now. And I guess maybe it's the success Clemson's had, too, since I've been here. But, yes, for 100%, I think we've had, you know, the loudest voice that we've ever had as of right now, and moving forward, there'll be a lot more, you know, dialogue with players, you know, as far as decision-making goes.
Sure. Let's talk leadership. That's interesting. So Tuesday, we talked to Brent Venables, defensive coordinator. We talked to Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator. Both of them kind of had this same thing of, we are always looking for the next leaders, the S, plural. And they talked about the difference between vocal leaders, the guys that are kind of the rah-rah guys, the guys who put it out there on the line. You're kind of like, to me, you're kind of a mix of that, man. I mean, we have watched you in playoff games. And be the guy that's first to the ball, be the guy that's out there. How have you been, how have you developed as a leader, and how comfortable do you feel being labeled a leader within this defense that's a national championship contender every year you've been here?
It's flattering, and I'm very comfortable now. I mean, I should be. I've been here long enough, right? I hope I'm a leader after 6 years in this program. If we're about all the things we say we're about, I should be the best leader we got after all this time. But, no, it's something you earn for sure. And, it starts through, you know, our leadership as far as coaches. Like, they hold you accountable. I mean, they squeeze the very best out of you. And if you last long enough, You're going to become, you know, a leader. You're
sure.
Going to become a piece that can be used and will be used. And it's an honor to be considered a leader at Clemson. And it's a lot of work, a lot of time, but it's finally coming to fruition.
Sure. So. James Skalski, linebacker Clemson, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. ESPN up, say, all right, dude, uncomfortable question, got to ask. We have watched 1,000 times that hit in the Sugar Bowl from last year. What I watched as you're walking off the field, you looked heartbroken. You really did. Like, you look like this hit you in an emotional way. After having some time to reflect on that game and that moment and kind of what that meant in your career. Can you just kind of give me your thoughts on, A, did you think the ejection was warranted? And B, looking back at it, do you think it's going to change the way you play football this year?
I'll start off with the second answer there. There's no way in hell I'm changing the way I play football.
Love it.
Like, I'm going to be as aggressive, tenacious, attacking. Like, that's how I play the game, instinctual. Now, do I admit and openly, you know, want to talk about how I could have a few changes to things I do? 100%.
Sure.
All right? And you could even argue, you know, he's spinning, this or that, all these scenarios. But the bottom line is they're trying to protect him and myself. And I need to pick my head up. You know, it's simple as that. But, no, I'm not changing the way I play the game. That's, I mean, I feel like I'm more prone to injury, slowing down, and than I would be playing than I am now.
Dude, great answer. I'm ready to run through a wall, man. Yeah. Great answer. James Goski, linebacker, Clemson, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN FC. All right, let's talk about, we talked about your goals, your objective, and you said, look, end of the day, the goal is to win the last game. Whether, you know, national championship, let's go get it. You guys obviously have had some shifts, more on the offensive side of the ball with two first-round picks taking off. But when we talked to Dabo on Tuesday, he kind of had the same attitude. And DJ did this morning, and everybody I've talked to in the program has all said the same thing. Our goal doesn't change. The personnel change, but our goal changes. Level of confidence for you guys, defensively specifically. I mean, again, I know that the Sugar Bowl last year felt like it got a little away from you. Knowing how that season ended, knowing the lessons you took, what is the deal? What can Clemson fans expect to see out of your defense this year?
Oh, out of our defense?
Yeah, specifically. Yeah. That's all your side of the ball, big
you're
dog.
You're about to see, you know, a full defense back. I think you're going to see, you know, young guys. I think, what was it? You know, between Brian, Miles Murphy, Malcolm Green, Trenton Simpson. And that's four true freshmen on the field at the biggest stage in football.
Sure.
So I think you're going to see a more knowledgeable team, a more sure of itself team, and a more physical team. And if we can do those three things at the defensive level, we're going to be playing at a high level.
Love it. All right, one more, and then we let you go because I know you're busy. So you're a Georgia guy originally. When you go out around South Carolina, this it's going to be a weird question, but I need you to stick with me here. You go to a restaurant and you order a hot dog. What do you expect to come on that hot dog? Just your what do you expect? When you just say, I want a hot dog, what do you expect to come on it?
Ketchup and mustard.
Thank you. So I've been told that in the upstate of South Carolina, the default hot dog,
coleslaw,
chili, onions, mustard. That's default. That's what you get if you don't ask for anything.
Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Okay. So
it ain't that way in Florida.
We're out the loop, I guess.
We're out the loop, man. And not only tell me, but I promise you, I'm going to get text after this going, Rob, that's what a hot dog. Bro, that's a chili dog, right?
It's a chili dog.
Thank
it's
you, James.
Dog. That's why it's called chili dog.
Thank you, bro. If it's a chili
dog. If I want a hot dog, I'll get a hot dog.
Thank
if I
you.
Want a chili dog, I'll order chili.
Thank you. Listen, I moved here, and I'm like you, dude. Like, you got here, you bought into Clemson, you bought into this way of life, and I'm with you. I did the same thing. I love everything about Greenville, which is where our stage is located, Spartanburg, all that area. Phenomenal. Love being here. Yeah. I love buying into what's going on at Clemson, and don't say it out loud, but Columbia and the program they're building under Shane Beamer. But this is the one place I make the stand. It's a chili dog, not a hot dog.
It's a chili dog with chili on it.
Thank you. Endorsed. James Goski, senior linebacker for the Clemson Tigers. He'll be wearing number 47 this season as the Tigers try to get back to the College Football National Playoffs. James, man, great to talk to you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Quick break. We're back right after this. You're listening to the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Couple of texts coming in on the text line. One texter says, ESPN, James was a great interview, knowledgeable, well-spoken, and engaged. Seems like a great guy. Yeah, I got to tell you, man, there's players, Lonzo. There's players and coaches when you do this job. There's players and coaches that you can tell are just kind of going through the motions of an interview. And then there's players and coaches that care. Like, they engage and they enjoy it. We got done with James Skalski a second ago, who's now standing 4 feet in front of me with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cameras in his face. And he's laughing and smiling and cutting up. We stood up from that interview. And I said, James, man, I'm sincerely sorry about the hot dog question. It's kind of like a running joke on the show now, right? And he goes, dude, that was the most engaging, hilarious question I have been asked all day. It's been my favorite question. Thank you for that. It's just cool, man. He's cool. He's here to have a good time. DJ Uyunglele, who we played the interview for you earlier in the show, same way. We got done, and he was just cutting up. He was having a good time. I love that. Another texter says, ESPN, I love, even as a South Carolina fan, that last interview. You really just make people feel like they're talking to their bro. It seems everybody else, it's just always interviewing. Good job, Rob. No, thank you, man. Thank you sincerely. I think we've talked about this in the past. That's kind of the point, right, Lonzo? I mean, anybody can sit down and go, so you guys are going to run a 4-3, but this year you're going to run a 3-4. I want to talk to them about being players, man. I want to talk to them about being people. I had to ask, and I knew it was going to be a little uncomfortable, but, like, I needed to ask him about the ejection from the Sugar Bowl last year, but do it in a way that he got to respond to it as a person and not just the guy that got ejected. You know what I mean?
I do, but I have some biases towards that game.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I was pretty happy with the outcome.
That's true. That is correct. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, and that's it, man. That's been my goal in this show, really, in every show I've ever done, but especially in this one, as being the. I mean, I'm still technically the new guy here in the Upstate, at least as far as the media scene goes. But I told you guys, my goal has been to ingratiate myself, to be not in addition to this community, but a part of it. I want to be part of the sum of the total that is the Upstate of South Carolina and the broadcasting scene here.
You know, by the way, and I'm not buttering up the host because, as we know, I don't do that. Because I don't have to.
I butter myself up enough. You are correct.
That's not what I meant. We've been around. I've been around here for a couple of decades, and I love your interview style because that's my style too. When I interview and I ask questions, I'm more interested in the person. I mean, you want to know about what they're doing on the field and things like that, but you want to ask questions that other people don't ask. Because it makes them more personable and it makes them more real other than just a player on the field. And I think you do a great job with that.
Well, I appreciate that. And I thank everybody that has commented on the text line and on Twitter. Man, it's my pleasure. I enjoy getting the opportunity. It's great, man. Like I said, I understand patting myself on the back is not my goal here. I understand that when you guys listen to interviews, there is a responsibility that I have to create an interview with these guys that you may not always have access to that gives you more than just, hey, do you prefer blitzing the A gap or the B gap or pass coverage? Like anybody, you're going to get I'm going to take a shot here and say that you can go find 12-13 interviews that James Skalski is going to do today. And 10 of those are going to be exactly that. You know, how does it feel to be moving and playing more outside linebacker this year? Which is fine. I mean, we want to know that too. But I want him to approach it less as linebacker number 42 and more as James Skalski the bro. the Georgia kid who is a six-year player for Clemson. Guy's probably got more in-depth knowledge of what Dabo is trying to build and establish at Clemson than anybody else except Dabo Swinney. And we want that approach. So I enjoyed it, man. James Skalski, great interview. Thanks again to him, to DJ Uyunglele, who joined us earlier in the show. Mark Richt was here yesterday. We talked to Wes Durham of the ACC Network. Ivan Maisel from On3 Sports, formerly of ESPN and Sports Illustrated. Great interview with him. It's been great. And to be able to talk to these guys again as players, right? Like as players instead, or excuse me, as people instead of as players, I think it's been great. So I appreciate all that.
I have a question to ask, and this is, it's about football, but not that football. And it's not because I'm trying to become a soccer fan or anything. I want to point that out. Not trying to be a soccer fan. I do have Russia and Japan on right now.
Okay.
And Japan scored a goal, but the guy who kicked, the player who kicked the goal, went into the goal.
Okay.
So that doesn't count?
No, you can do whatever you want after the ball goes in the goal. If it didn't count, my first suspicion, I'm not watching the game actively.
He went all the way into the net afterwards, is what I mean.
Yeah, no, you can do that. It's like a touchdown. Yeah, it's like a touchdown dance. Once the ball's in the net, it's a goal. Anything after that is dead ball activity.
But he couldn't kick if it was over the line, it's already a goal.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out why they didn't count it as a goal.
So my bet without having watched it, and I'll go try to check this out on a highlight during the break. My bet is it was probably offsides. My bet is the player was offside, and once an offensive player goes offside, the ball's dead. And with an offside call, much like they have done in the NFL in years past, they will, if there is a penalty, they will let the play continue and develop to see. I mean, look, if they call a backside defensive holding penalty, the play continues, right? And if it scores, great. With an offsides, a lot of times what they'll do is let it develop, because if the defensive team takes possession, if the player goes offside, touches the ball, but then the defense takes the ball immediately off of them and creates an opportunity the other direction on a counterattack, they don't want to take that away from the team that has dispossessed the offsides player and created an opportunity. So usually they'll let the play go on for a handful of seconds until they call it. Did they, by chance, Lonzo, show the official, the referee on the side of the field holding a flag straight up in the air?
I did not see that, but okay. They did hold up play even though the clock was still going.
Clock never stops in football.
Yeah, so I think that they sent it to replay or whatever to figure out if that was the case. But the goal did not count, so it probably is what you said. And looked up and saw it happening, and I'm like, okay, that was an amazing goal. Why did that not count?
Yeah, likely the player was offsides, and in soccer, offsides occurs when a player, an offensive player, cannot be closer to the goal than the deepest defensive player, right? So basically prevents cherry picking, where one guy would just stand down there and the defense can't do anything about it. So if the last offensive player is deeper than the last defensive player, you cannot pass the ball to them. That would be offsides. He has to be inside of the back defensive player and then can run past them after the ball is played, after the ball's kicked. So likely what happened is that player was probably deeper, and you cannot be a single step deeper. That player was probably one step closer to the goal than the furthest back defensive player. And when the ball was played to him, he was in an offside position. And what gets interesting about that, and you'll see really good defenses, one of the things that really good defenses will do is they will literally set what's called offside traps, right? So they'll have all three defensive players on the same step. When they realize that there is an offensive player who is level with them, they'll wait until it looks like that player is going to receive a pass through the defense, and they will all three take off running up the field towards the ball, forcing that back offensive player offside. And if they can force him offsides right before the ball is played to him, he is still offside. But it takes a really, really good communicative defense to be able to pull that off, because if even one defender does not take off up the field at the right time, then that player will now not only stay on sides, but now he's only got one defender between him and the goalkeeper. So that's one of those tactics that is incredibly effective, but it's incredibly difficult to get right, because if even one defender is slow on the step, then that player remains on sides and you've just created an advantage for the offense. My bet is he probably either got trapped or naturally ran off sides and just got called back, which will eliminate a goal. Professor Rob has left the building.
Wow, that was amazing. The transition between, you know, American football to that other football, and now he's going to transition back. Rob Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I do. Texter says, ESPN, have y'all already talked about the Texas-Oklahoma reports? Well, Texter, we addressed them yesterday when they broke here on the show, but I'm glad you said that, because that's actually next up on my show prep. So when we come back, yesterday afternoon as we were on the air, the Houston Chronicle dropped a report that said that Oklahoma and Texas had reached out to the Southeastern Conference asking to join that conference. We actually had Ivan Mazel, college football sports Hall of Fame caliber writer, on the air with us. We talked with him about it. We'll tell you what Ivan said he knew from the inside, our response to it, and more when we come back. My name is Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, back in the network studio. It's the Ingles Market Super Show live from ACC kickoff. This is ESPN Update. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Schedules are overrated. We just make it up as we go. We are joined now by a young woman that, if you have been watching the ACC kickoff on the ACC network, you have seen me quite literally looking over her shoulder the entire weekend. Kelsey Riggs has been, I'm going to go ahead and say lead anchor because I don't care what anybody else said. Mark Rick, great guy, had him on earlier. Those guys are all just characters for Kelsey Riggs, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, young lady?
Oh, man, that is not true at all, but I am doing so good. I'm doing good because I'm surrounded by great people, which is exciting. I think ever since I walked into this building, I had a huge smile on my face because it just feels, A, so good to be back with all of our ACC network people,
yep,
and then B, to be covering this event in person. It's the first time we've gotten to do it at the network, which has been exciting, 2 straight days of coverage, and just to be here and to see all these people and to finally feel like, okay, we're getting back, obviously, you know, concerns in different areas, but it feels good to be here.
Oh yeah, we were talking with Coach Rick earlier. I'll say the same thing to you. The last year for us, I have been working on my couch in like hoodies and basketball shorts. This is the first event that we've gotten to do. I know you guys, I've been watching, you know, Packer Durham and all these guys doing their shows, yeah, on computer monitors from, uh-huh, their home offices. How good is it to be not just back in public, but here with football people talking football stuff? It's been awesome, right?
I'm just glad I still remember how to talk to humans in person. Like, you know, that was a long time where I was like, what's it going to be like when I'm looking a human in their eye and talking to them and not looking at EJ Manuel or Coach Mark Rick through a screen? So it's been awesome. I think like the energy just in this building was tangible from the moment that everybody walked in. And I think it's just going to continue to carry over from here into the season and really be an exciting time for ACC football, and it should. Like, there are so many fun storylines in college football as a whole, but I think when you look at the talent in the ACC, you look at the freaking quarterbacks,
yeah,
in the ACC, and it's like, good gosh, this is going to be a fun year.
Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Update. So you've been sitting over there interviewing players all week long. We've had them coming and going. And one thing they've all seemed to say, aside from how awesome it is to be here and be amongst the people, mm-hmm, the ACC this year really feels like it's on the rise, mm-hmm, right? Like, in the last couple of years, it's kind of been trending up. It really feels like this year has the potential to be a great year for football in this conference. The players feel that way. Do you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we're all excited about Clemson and DJ Uiagalelei, and we had the opportunity to interview him earlier, and just as down to earth, like friendly. I mean, you know, you would have had no idea that the bright lights and the cameras were on, which was really cool. And everybody's talking about that, but there's so many more storylines. The first player we talked today was Phil Dracovic from Boston College, their quarterback. And that guy's a stud.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it last year. You saw what Jeff Hafley was able to do in year one in the middle of a COVID year coming into that program and already laying that foundation. I'm so excited about Boston College. But really, there's just teams throughout the Atlantic and the Coastal that I think are going to make big strides. I'm excited to see what Miami's able to do with De'Arik King. Florida State, excited to find out who's going to play quarterback for them, if it's going to be both of them, how they're going to use them. We talked to McKenzie Milton earlier, and, you know, gosh, the story that he has and the comeback. It's been since November 23rd of 2018 since he played in a football game, and just as humble and excited as ever to get back on the field. And I know, like, the whole world's going to be rooting for him.
Yeah, and you keep mentioning storylines, which is, I think, why we love sports. Like, we love the competitive sports.
But
we love narratives, right?
Yeah.
So you talk to McKenzie Milton. And talk about a guy. I was covering Florida when he had his injury, and I remember that day. And it wasn't, will McKenzie Milton play football again? It's, will the dude walk again, right? Will he have a normal life? And then he comes back, and then he transfers to FSU, who Mike Norvell's got to find the quarterback. And here's this young man with this heck of a comeback story. When you're talking to him up there, can you give me a little bit of, like how did you, what was the read of his attitude? And I mean, he seems like an incredibly optimistic guy. I think you have to be in his shoes. But what was your feel for the interview with this young man, knowing that there's a chance not only does he play again, but he's starting over at one of the blue-collar franchises of college football this year?
Yeah, he was incredibly candid and opened up a lot. You know, he's told Andrea Adelson a lot about his story and the struggles and the rehab and the surgeries. And Wes Durham asked him today, was there a time when you thought, I may never play, like, will I ever play football again? I'm not going to do it. And he said, yeah, there's definitely some dark times. Now, he said he was always hopeful. He talked about he had his faith, and that got him through those dark times. He talked about the people around him helped him a lot. And then he just says how much he learned. You know, I think after 2020, everybody appreciates this football season. Everybody appreciates every practice. Everybody appreciates every down of football they get. Everybody even appreciates every sprint that they have to run during conditioning, because there was so much in limbo last year and so many question marks. But then you take it to a whole new level with a guy like McKenzie that has seen so many struggles after that just devastating injury, and he talked about the infection that he had and all of those things. You know, his health was really on the line, and so he said that there were definitely hard times, but his mindset and mentality is, I'm grateful to be here. I have an awesome opportunity. I'm playing for a great university in Florida State and looking to really turn this program back to what it was before.
Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Speaking of the ACC, we talked a few minutes ago. I think it's on the rise. I think it's got potential to be one of the better conferences this year. Mm-hmm. But specifically schools, I'm looking at North Carolina with Mac Brown and Sam Howell. Those guys have done a good job, and I think there's a chance Sam's going to be sitting in New York at a certain particular party at the end of this year.
Oh, yeah.
I look at NC State. Dave Doran, what a great job. I mean, 3 years ago, NC State was a doormat. Now, all of a sudden, I'm looking like that's a dark horse team. You know, I think we still need to see Florida State prove it on the field under Coach Norvell, but my folks back in Tallahassee are over the moon about the direction he's pointed them in right now. Give me your two or three schools you think are Clemson's biggest threat this year, if there are any.
Well, you mentioned North Carolina, and I think that that's a likely scenario that we see North Carolina and Clemson playing, you know, at the end of the season. North Carolina and Sam Howell, I mean, this guy, what he was able to do in his first 2 years there. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
68 touchdowns in your first 2 years. He's breaking all kinds of records, and that is just 2 years there as a starting quarterback. They've lost a ton on offense, but they still have a ton on offense, too. I think the four guys that they lost, that was 74% of their yards from scrimmage were from those two running backs and wide receivers. But they've got guys coming back. I'm excited to see what happens with them on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they had some struggles last year. They've got 10 guys back on defense, and so hopefully they're able to build on, you know, that foundation. And when you got a guy like Mac Brown leading the charge, you know they're going to be able to do that. I'm really excited about them. We talked a little bit about Miami and De'Arik King. I mean, what a great kid. What an incredible leader. Manny Diaz just keeps saying, like, he came in and made an impression on this team. When we talked to him yesterday, De'Arik yesterday, he said it was important for me to get to know these players, to earn their trust, earn their respect in the locker room. He wasn't going to walk in there like he was the guy. You know, he knew he had to work for it. And Manny Diaz says he's the guy that you just can't help but want to be around.
Sure.
He just has that aura about him. He doesn't ask for it. You know, he doesn't want that spotlight. But that that's just how he is. So I'm excited about them. And honestly, I'm really excited about Boston College, too. I think this team, they've got all five of their starting offensive linemen back. They've got Zay Flowers. They've got Kobe White coming back. Phil Dracovic can sling it. He's a big dude, too. Pitt. Kenny Pickett to have their super senior back for his 100th year is going to be incredible. We got to talk to Kenny yesterday.
By the way, what a GQ dude.
Oh, my gosh, right?
He walked through, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go home and change, man. Yeah, my game was GQ'd out.
But I think there's going to be so many fun storylines, A, already right now, and then I'm excited to see when we get halfway through this season. Like, we're all always wrong, right? Like, there's always going to be someone that surprises you. There's going to be a player that pops out of nowhere. There's going to be a coach that's doing really incredible things. Scott Satterfield, they had a tough year last year, but Louisville in his first year, they were really on the rise and headed in the right direction. I think we'll see more of that this year too.
Clemson. So we're down in Greenville, South Carolina, right next door to Clemson. Look, they're right now, they're the gem of the conference. I mean, you can't argue that no matter how much we'd love to say, oh, it's Clemson's conference
for
right
sure.
Now. But they replaced two first-rounders on the offense. We know DJ. We talked to DJ earlier. I mean, talk about a kid who's just – I mean, he seems ready. He seems confident. Is there a threat to Clemson that in the next year or two they may have some more top challenges, or does Dabo really have this team playing at the elite level that everybody outside the conference says they are?
I think it's getting closer and closer. I mean, Clemson has won six straight ACC championships. They've been in six straight college football playoffs. Like, there's a reason that we say and that people say Clemson and everybody else, because it's not just in the ACC. It's been that on a big stage, too. You know, it's been Clemson. It's been Alabama. It's been those teams. But I think the gap is getting smaller and smaller. You know, you need a team like Florida State to get back to what Florida State used to be. I mean, I grew up in South Carolina. I grew up in Charleston. I remember those Florida State Clemson games and people wanting to get a ticket to that and going to see that and what that meant. And I think we need to get back to that. And, you know, I think we're getting closer and closer to it. And when you think, okay, is it this year? Is it next year? You look at a game like Boston College last year and the way that they were able to grind it out and come from back and Clemson was able to come back and do it. But Boston College was a team that I think is really making leaps and bounds. And it's going to take collectively a lot of other teams stepping up and having great quarterbacks and great skill players and great defensive too to stop a team like Clemson. Because, God, it doesn't matter what they lose. Reload, rebuild, let's do it again. Oh, yeah, you lost Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall draft pick. Guess what? Here's DJ.
So I wanted to ask you about the ACC net. We have seen Texas and this SEC create the SEC net, and basically it seems like a huge foundation of attracting recruits and kids and then administrators and coaches to the ACC, the SEC, Texas, is having this foundation where you can present the product in a way that's very streamlined. For you to be a part of the ACC network and be a part of that foundation, what's that been like for you?
Oh, it's been amazing, honestly. Like, one of the best things in certainly in my career. I mean, my family is incredibly important to me, but outside of that and the people, the friends, the faith that I have, I mean, this has been really one of the highlights of my life. We have said from day one at ACC Network, I've joked about how much it feels like a family. And it's so nice to see all these people in their eyes and still like them 2 years later and still feel like that. But I think it's a credit to the people that put this team together. You know, there's just a bunch of good people that like sports, that like telling stories, that enjoy each other. And our hope is that comes off on camera and that people enjoy watching and can tell that we enjoy ourselves. And, you know, I think there's something really special about having the opportunity to start something, right?
Sure.
You know, for us to all be here from the beginning and to launch ACC Network and to kind of see it continue to grow and to get to tell some of the stories and follow up on those now. And I can't imagine where we'll be 5-10 years from now with the ACC Network, but it has truly been a pleasure.
Last question, we'll let you go because I know you're busy. I've been over your shoulder all weekend long, or all week long.
Have you done anything cool? Have you been like waving?
Look, we waved yesterday towards the end of the day.
Okay.
So now my question is, if I go full Woody Page and I hold up like a sign shoulder, how fast am I getting kicked out of here?
No chance.
No chance.
I mean, it depends on what you write on the sign, I guess.
Well, obviously.
That's a given.
No FCC violations.
There you go.
I
feel like you would look out for us, though. I know.
Absolutely.
You would look out for us. I feel like it would work out, and, you know, I'll roll with it. Whatever you
Perfect.
Do.
Perfect. I need all security guards to know I fully got Kelsey Riggs' permission to do that. Kelsey, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so
We're
much
for
coming. We're
not recording, right? I can pretend that I never said that.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Said what? Kelsey Riggs is the lead anchor here at ACC Kickoff for the ACC Network. You can give her a follow at Kelsey Riggs TV on the gram. Kelsey, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you having me. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Back right after this to wrap up hour number two of the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show wrapping up hour number two. Thanks to DJ Uiagalelei. Thanks to Mark Richt. Thanks to Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network all for joining us. Man, what a crazy couple of days it has been here at the ACC Kickoff in Charlotte, North Carolina. Have enjoyed this tremendously. Having an absolute blast up here in Charlotte. And appreciate all you guys for listening. I mean, we only get to do this because you guys are a part of it. A couple of texts that have come in. ESPN, have y'all already talked about the Texas-Oklahoma reports? I was going to do that in the last segment, but we got the opportunity to talk to Kelsey Riggs for one segment, and that was our only chance, so we will talk about that coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, or as Mark Ryan would say, coming up next on the show. So stick around for that at ESPN. Robinzo, is it almond, or is it palm or palm? It's almond, pronounced as if it was A-L-L-M-O-N-D, almond.
No, not, it's almond.
No, it's not. There's no H in that. There's an L. It's a almond. Very clear L.
It's almond.
The L's right there.
It's almond.
Almond. And is it palm or palm? It's palm. Again, there's an L in that word.
It's palm.
I can see it right now. It's palm.
It's palm without a doubt.
It's palm with an L. Again,
do you also say wheat?
Wheat. Why do you ask, Lonzo?
I don't know.
Why do you require that answer? Require that answer. at ESPN, talent in the ACC, question mark? Doesn't she mean talent at Clemson, question mark? No, there's talent in the ACC. The question is, will it translate finally? The ACC might be the deepest quarterback conference in the country this year. Might be the deepest. We'll see. Another texter says ESPN ACC equals the all Clemson conference. I don't disagree. I literally said that to Kelsey. Can somebody else jump up? We'll talk about that next hour too. The Texas Oklahoma report coming up next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.